This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Yeah, I know Howie doesn't like that song, but I love it, especially because of Joe Manchin. You know, his houseboat, the name of his houseboat is Almost Heaven. And he had said recently that the reason he could not get on board with the Build Back Bagel plan is because he wouldn't be able to go home and, you know, explain why he voted for this. And I thought, that's actually how politicians should think about
bagel
things.
Back better.
You know, that you represent the people in your district, or in his case, the people in the state, and you have to explain why you're doing things. If they voted for you and they entrusted you to make the best decisions on behalf of the country, and specifically West Virginia, you have to explain why you're going along with something that you've said multiple times is going to cause even more inflation than we're already seeing. And Manchin couldn't do that. And he decided to vote against it, or to not even get on board with it. And now everyone's mad at him. Bernie Sanders is mad at him. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is mad at him. And this won't come as a surprise to anyone who's been following politics for the last 5 or 6 years, but it's not just that he didn't vote for a social spending bill. He's literally threatening democracy. Democracy is hanging on by a thread, thanks to Joe Manchin. And I just want to say, just for the record here, democracy's been hanging on by a thread for quite some time. That thread, it might be one thread, but damn, it's a strong piece of thread. Because democracy keeps coming out on top. So Joe Manchin's not going to go along with this. And he explained it on with Brett Baer. And then I want to go over some of the reactions that people are having. Sheer chaos. Hyperbole doesn't even begin to describe it. They're acting as though one guy actually tweeted out, and I didn't even think to print it, but I can summarize the gist of it. One guy said that this is, and he was saying this, Jared, with like a tone of, let me be unbiased here, or, you know, let me be objective. He said, this is going to be devastating for the planet. This is going to just, how is the planet going to recover from this? The amount of heads that were being set on fire over Joe Manchin's decision was really something to watch.
This Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor, real wrath of God type stuff. Exactly. Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
Dogs and cats living together. We would hate to see that. Yeah, no, and it's interesting when you look at all the different reactions. You had Bernie Sanders, who immediately put out a statement. And actually, there was a really good piece on Red State that talked about this and talked about Bernie Sanders' reaction and, you know, the old man yelling. That's classic Bernie. You could feel the burn from a mile away. And there are so many things that were part of his letter that he put out there. And Bonchi kind of summarized these pretty well. He said Sanders begins by lamenting billionaires because that's literally all he ever talks about, you know.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, to be fair, Bonchi, he used to talk about millionaires and then he became one. So he had to kind of move to the billionaires. But he likes to say these billionaires, they don't pay for anything, these billionaires. He then cites the BBB bill as a solution, despite the fact nothing to stop the rich from getting richer and actually includes a massive salt tax giveaway to the ultra wealthy. This is what Democrats have been reduced to. They mumble about the rich while trying to pass legislation that helps the rich. Makes sense, right? Sanders eventually starts levying threats. This is part of Sanders' letter, okay? Dude, why are you laughing? You should be scared about what's coming. Why are you giggling over there?
The thought of this balding skeleton actually issuing a threat to anybody is just laughable.
Do you forget that he was the man who sat cross-legged with his gloves on? Don't forget, he's a meme, Jared.
He does have quite the mean mug, you're right.
Yes, Sanders eventually starts levying threats, suggesting that Manchin should be made to actually vote down the BBB bill so that he has to explain to West Virginians why they aren't receiving a boatload of unnecessary progressive handouts. I just want to make this clear to Bernie. I don't think anyone's confused about who the media and who the country should be, quote, blaming for ruining this bill. I mean, I don't think he needs to vote on it for everyone to know that Joe Manchin is suddenly the worst man in the world. Move over, Donald Trump. There's a new sheriff in town.
So is Joe Manchin not going to vote on this, or is the fact that he is not supporting it not even going to let it get to a vote? I'm confused, Bernie. Help me out here.
Well, this is what Bonchi says, and he's absolutely right. He says, that's silly, though. West Virginia is a deep red state. Manchin's voters aren't going to be upset that he didn't further expand Medicaid or drive up the price of childcare with government subsidies. Rather, they will be largely supportive of the decision. Lastly, Sanders gets conspiratorial in this letter. This letter, I haven't seen a letter this good since Snooki and JWoww wrote that letter to Sammy on the Jersey Shore telling her that Ronnie was cheating on her. Dear Sam, Ron cheated on you with two girls at the club last night. This is up there for good letters. Bernie Sanders suggests that Manchin voted down the BBB bill, not out of concern for the debt and inflation, but for some other reason. Obviously, the suggestion there is that West Virginia senator was paid off somehow. I don't buy that, though, Bonchi writes. Manchin's decision came down to two things: the inflationary boom we are currently in and his political future. Now, this is the point of this that I think is absolutely dead on. He says, what Sanders' venom tells me is that the Build Back Better bill is actually dead. If there was any chance of getting Manchin back to the table to pass the bill anywhere near its current form, Sanders wouldn't be dumping on him like this. He goes on to say the rest of the squad would be, because they're too stupid. They don't understand that, you know, you don't want to jump too fast on that. But Bernie Sanders wouldn't be. And that says that this is over and Manchin has won. And I love the sound of that.
So where's Kyrsten Sinema in all this? Has she jumped on the BBB train, or is she still a dissenter?
I thought that was weird, too. I haven't really been reading too much about Kyrsten Sinema.
Or heard anything about her.
It seems we're very focused.
Somebody get to a bathroom in Arizona quickly. We need to know what's going on.
We haven't heard much about her, but AOC was on with Morning Joe today, and she was just ripping into Joe Manchin. And it all just starts to feel so performative. But what I didn't think of until today, and David Marcus was pointing this out in a column on FoxNews.com, he wrote about how that original betrayal, what a lot of us saw as a betrayal by those like 14 Republicans who jumped on board with the infrastructure bill, was actually a genius gambit that paid off. Because by eliminating the AOC's and the squad's leverage, by doing the job for them, which seemed crazy at the time. Like AOC, I remember saying AOC voted no, but these Republicans couldn't vote no. But actually what they did in that moment was they eliminated AOC's leverage over people like Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. And it worked out better than anyone could have hoped. And now we have Joe Manchin, who's the number one enemy to the left. But I want to point something out here. This ties in to Kamala Harris's most cringeworthy moment of all time. And this was before we knew that Joe Manchin was absolutely no on this. She was on with Charlemagne the God, and she was asked, who's really president, Joe Biden or Joe Manchin? Now, it's kind of a stupid question, because
everybody knows Ron Klain is really the president.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not Joe Manchin, but it's also not Joe Biden. You know, is there a third option? Neither. But it sent her spiraling.
this interview got so weird and out of control. Now, before we even go to that, though, Jared, and I'll save that for after the break, let's play a little bit of Joe Manchin on Fox with Bret Baier and his explanation for why the country road can't take him home unless he can explain why he's voting for the BBB. Cut 23.
If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no on this legislation. I have tried everything I know to do.
Now, Jen Psaki was also very upset with this, and I was laughing this weekend. I said to my dad, oh, Jen Psaki's mad. She said that, you know, this is not what they saw coming, and they had gotten the sense that whatever. My dad said, Joe Biden's probably coming out of those meetings, giving them all the big thumbs up, you know, winking. We got him. Fear not.
I just talked to Joe McCarthy. He's on board.
Don't worry about it, Jennifer. Everything's looking good. Okay, Julie? And then turns out he's like, no, I don't want to vote for it. That's not what you told Joe Biden. Who knows really what he told Joe Biden? Joe Biden doesn't even know what he told Joe Biden.
Joe Biden needs to nominate a woman quickly.
So this is what Jen Psaki said. She said it's a sudden and inexplicable reversal in his position and a breach of his commitments to Biden and the congressional Democrats. She then said that Manchin will have to explain why many families will have to cope with higher health and child care costs the bill is intended to address. Oh, he's shaking in his boots. Let me assure you, Jen. It's pretty funny to watch this reaction. We will get to the Kamala Harris with Charlemagne afterwards, but I did want to talk about this huge bullet we all just dodged. I mean, this is a Christmas present for Americans, the fact that this is not going through. And Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, we're going to do this, you know, once we get back in 2022. I doubt it. I don't even think Nancy Pelosi, the master legislator, could pull that off. Celebrate the season at Aviva Trattoria. Aviva serves Italian classics with culinary flair, and it's the perfect place for a holiday get-together with family and friends. These restaurants are beautiful. They have a lot of different locations: Malden, Maynard, Marlborough, Westford, and Wrentham. The menu is amazing. All the restaurants are staffed with the most lovely, helpful people who really do love their jobs and are happy to be there, which is awesome. And now we got to talk about the food, though. The food is outrageous. I mean, it's so delicious. I'm talking chicken piccata, chicken marsala, pizzas, pastas, salads that are really good, anything you want. And then you can also get anything casual. It's just a perfect place to go for everyone and everyone's palate. Everyone can find something they like.
Yeah, they have all classic Italian favorites. But my new favorite is the Godfather, which is the burger. It's kind of a take on a bacon burger, except instead of bacon, it's got prosciutto on there, and it's got the big ball of mozzarella, the mozzarella.
When did this come out? I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah. This has been on the menu for a while.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I got to try this.
Yeah, it's got. I think it has pesto, too, I believe there was on there. It's molto bene.
They really do. They infuse every single dish with tons of flavor, tons of local ingredients. Chef Anthony is a genius, and he takes his job so seriously. This season, give the gift of Aviva to your family and friends. Visit AvivaTrattoria.com for special holiday gift card offers, or visit Aviva's locations once again in Malden, Maynard, Marlborough, Westford, and Wrentham. All right, we will be back. We're going to play a little bit of Kamala Harris with Charlemagne the God when we return.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Growing like a breeze, country roads. Take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia.
I'm a fanchin. I'm a fan of Joe Manchin, and I don't care who knows it. You know who's not a fan of Joe Manchin would be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's very mad about this. She's mad that Joe Manchin isn't going along with this bill that's going to, you know, in large part, take a lot of the Green New Deal into it and spend a lot of money and not make a lot of money. That's the thing about a lot of these Democratic policies.
They don't have to. They're all paid for.
Everything's paid for, so nobody feels the need to make any money back. AOC, though, she was on with Morning Joe, and she said a lot of ridiculous things, and I have a lot of them on my cut sheet, but a friend of mine just texted me maybe the most ridiculous thing she said. And you know what I realize I need, Jared? I need a fact check. I'm holding out for a fact check till the end of the night. Listen to AOC on with Morning Joe.
So the idea that Joe Manchin says he can't explain this back home to his people is a farce. I mean, it's a farce in terms of, you know, plain democracy, because I represent more or just as many or more people than Joe Manchin does, perhaps more. But secondly, and importantly, is that if you can't explain to your constituents why the child tax credit that they are getting right now.
Hold on. Secondly, let's go back to the first one. Forget about the second one. I think the first one's more important.
More or just as many or more people than Joe Manchin does. Perhaps more.
Perhaps not, AOC. Perhaps that's a little bit of...
That is false.
Perhaps that's a little bit of fuzzy math. Okay, Alexandria? I need... Where is Daniel Dale when you need him so? Where is Glenn Kessler? Stop the presses. We need to hire an on-staff fact checker. And actually, I just did. It's Grace Curley. Here we go. Here's a fact check. Joe Manchin represents the entire state of West Virginia. That has a population of more than 1.7 million. Is everyone following? That's the first part of the fact check.
Not a joke.
But as always, these fact checks, they're complicated and context matters. Here's some context. AOC represents just one congressional district with a population of, drumroll please, 750,000. So perhaps she doesn't represent more people than Joe Manchin. Perhaps she's just talking nonsense, and that would really track for AOC. I think the most embarrassing part is that someone like Joe Scarborough just sits there, you know, doesn't say anything like, oh, well, actually, that's not true. Maybe he doesn't understand it either. Maybe he's thinking, oh, yeah, maybe that makes sense. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be one of the best and brightest to be able to fact check that. But while we're on it, we might as well play some of her other whoppers. She has a problem with the Senate because they won't do what she says. She's stomping her feet. She's pounding her fist to the table and the Senate won't listen. So we got to do something about the Senate. Cut 24.
And so what we really need to do is crack down on the Senate, which operates like an old boys club that has a couple of gals in it that have managed to break through. And we need to actually institute some institution. We actually need to implement some institutional discipline.
I am the Senate.
Oh, these people are all like mini wannabe dictators. But they're not bright enough to do it. That's the thing. Wait, can I also play, Jared, this cut 26, please?
Well, I think what Senator Manchin did yesterday represents such an egregious breach of the trust of the president. And it's also, you know, this is exactly why it's an outcome that we had warned about well over a month ago, about needing to plan a contingency plan for it.
A breach of trust of the president, the same president who promised he wouldn't leave any Americans in Afghanistan. Has he broken his trust a few times? By the way, the same president who promised people like AOC that he was going to get rid of student loan debt. Was that a breach of your trust, AOC? You're as much of a president as Joe Biden is.
If not more.
Perhaps, Jared, perhaps more, really. Who's to say?
If you think about it. What I heard from that clip was what's-her-face from Clueless when she learned the word sporadically. I hope I don't see you sporadically. That's exactly what I heard from that clip. Like, somebody got her a word of the day calendar.
Yeah.
And egregiously is the new word.
And you know what? Honestly, as someone who doesn't have the best vocabulary, I've tried to implement or institute a word of the day calendar. It's too hard. You do sound like that, you know? It's really hard to use cornucopia naturally without sounding like you're trying a little too hard. 844-500-4242. I've teased it for a long time. Kamala Harris in all her glory is up next. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Just a programming update. We will have Tristan Justice from The Federalist joining us at 2:05 to kind of go over a recap of this year's winners and losers. We're getting very close to the end of the year. And as you probably could have guessed, there's a lot of losers out there, and we're going to go over some of their best moments. Today's poll question is brought to you by The Fabrizia Lemon Baking Company. Delicious cookies, biscotti, lemon loaves. Those are my favorite, Jared. They're like these miniature lemon loaves, and the icing is the key.
Yeah, there was like a kind of pound cake, but it was like lemon. It was so good.
So, so good. Made in New England with award-winning Fabrizia Limoncello.
They also had some great little, they were like cake pops.
Yes.
But they were the little, whatever they're called, pedophores kind of.
Yes.
I think is what they're called.
And there was also lemon cookies, just everything you could think of. And right when you open the box, it smells amazing. Visit them at lemonbakingcompany.com. Holiday boxes are now available. Jared, what is the poll question? And let's get after it. Not even the results. We need the poll question, then we'll break it down, and then we'll get the results.
They were wrong before they were right.
Yes.
What was Kamala's worst interview moment? Never been to Europe with Lester Holt, moon craters with child actors, or pretending not to hear Charlemagne the God?
All right, now, we should take each of these moments and kind of break them down. The never been to Europe was bad because it just showed you how unprepared she was to answer a question on never visiting the border when it was literally the most obvious question that someone was going to ask in a sit-down interview. Like, the fact that one of her aides wouldn't have warned her about this and prepped her, or maybe they had and she just couldn't, she still couldn't deliver, was pretty amazing. And to say I've never been to Europe so callously and so carelessly was a huge red flag for people. Plus, it made
we've
them,
been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
Plus, it made everyone think of that song. You know, the I've never been to Spain, but I think I'd like the music. So that also wasn't a good look for Kamala. Then we had the, what was our second one? Our Jared, on the list.
For fake NASA craters on the moon with child actors.
All right, so then this weirdo video comes out. It's like a YouTube original, and she's talking to all these kids, and she's going, wow, the moon. And it was very, very cringeworthy, and the kids even looked like, why is this woman acting like she's never seen a planet before? And then it came out that she actually paid those children, they were child actors, to sit beside her and make this video that was supposed to make us think, wow, she's really, really into space stuff. I don't know. That was very bad. But what happened this weekend was, in my opinion, the worst. Kamala Harris was on a virtual interview with Charlemagne the God, and she did something that you should never try to do when caught in a bad situation. She tried to pretend that she couldn't hear, and she didn't even pretend well because she kind of reacted to the question, and then her aide stepped in, and then she started to pretend that there was like a sound issue. Now, the only thing I'm confused about in this cut is that it's Simone Sanders, because I was told, or maybe Simone hasn't left yet, so Simone's still there.
Well, it's like COVID. It kind of has a grace period before it shows up.
Yeah.
Or so leaves.
Simone Sanders steps in here. Let's take this cut, and then we'll talk about it. Cut 18. I'm sorry, cut 19.
Who's the superhero that's going to speak against Joe Manchin? No. I want to know who the real president of this country is. Is it Joe Biden or Joe Manchin?
I'm sorry. I interrupted. I don't think the vice president can hear you. It's Simone. I'm so sorry, Charlamagne. We have
she,
to
she can hear me.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me, Madam Vice President?
Okay, so I'm sorry. You got a rap.
Oh.
So I'm sorry to interrupt.
They're acting like they can't hear me.
So he calls them out on it. And it's so bad because when he's saying they're acting like they can't hear me, you can see it in her eyes that she's like, yeah, I know we're acting like we can't hear you, but we can't hear you. It's really hard to pretend. I've tried it before, all right? I've tried it before. You're on the phone, you know, it's an awkward conversation. You do the old parent trap move. You get the bit of wrapper from, let's say, like a candy in your bag, and you put it up to the receiver, and you say, "Can you hear me?" You got to commit, though. You know, you got to pretend you're frozen, especially when it's virtual and you can see the person's face. That's the dead giveaway. If you can see the face, you can see her reacting to the question. So at this point, I'm thinking, this can't get any more awkward. And then she reveals that she can hear Charlemagne the God, and she decides to answer the question, who's really president, Joe Biden or Joe Manchin? Let's take a listen.
I can hear you.
Oh, so who's the real? So who's the real president of this country? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden, Madam Vice President?
Come on, Charlemagne.
I really.
It's Joe Biden.
I can't tell.
No. It's Joe Biden, and don't start talking like a Republican about asking whether or not he's president.
Do you think Joe Manchin is a problem?
It's Joe Biden, and I'm Vice President. And my name is Kamala Harris, and the reality is because we are in office, we do the things like the child tax credit, which is going to reduce black child poverty by 50%, on track to do that. We do things.
Talking like a Republican, she was getting dangerously close to You Ain't Black.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, no, that Republican was definitely a substitute for what she really wanted to say.
Yeah, and
whatever that might be. But that was like the insult, like, you're even worse than this, you're a Republican.
But you know what, Jared? Keira Davis, who we've had on the show a lot before from Red State, she has a piece out about this, and she said, I have never seen in my life a worse politician than Kamala Harris.
Agreed.
And I have to say that as much as when you watch Joe Biden, and I was discussing this over the weekend, as you can tell, I talk a lot of politics over the weekend. I'm a real blast to be around. But a friend of mine said, I said, he's so stiff when he's walking, Joe Biden. Like, that to me is the sign that he's really fallen fast, is that when he walks over to the podium, he's got no bend, you know? And my friend said, yeah, he's getting stiff. That's like another real sign of decline, is you can't, you know, you don't bend anything. You just kind of walk forward and you shuffle to the podium. But the craziest part about Kamala Harris is, as bad as Joe Biden is, and he's bad, he's making TikToks with the Jonas Brothers, he's making TikToks with Bill Nye, he's making a lot of TikToks for somebody who can't take any questions. He's awful. He's just totally awful. He's got food in his face. He's walking into bushes. There's nothing this guy can't bleep up. So don't underestimate it. And as bad as he is, she's worse. She's somehow worse.
And this is enfeebled Joe Biden now. In his prime, Joe Biden was a very adept politician. He was the same guy, but at least he was an adept politician. This is Kamala is in her prime, and she's this bad. Like the 78-year-old dude who's completely losing it, you can understand him being this bad. This is Kamala Harris in her prime, the strongest candidate, the next generation. In her prime is this terrible.
Yeah, and you know what? This is what Keira Davis wrote, and I think this is kind of what you're getting at. Kamala Harris seems to have a knack for blunder. That's not even the worst of it, because Biden is a serial blunderer himself, and yet he's managed to remain a beloved Democrat figure, at least until quite recently. Harris doesn't have the personality that might allow her supporters to overlook her failures as a leader. She doesn't have the instincts needed to dig herself out of the hole she creates. And she's too arrogant or too stupid to even let her staff dig her out. Now, she made another mistake. I don't know if this happened Thursday or Friday, but sometime last week, she basically said, we didn't see this variant coming. We didn't see Omicron coming. And this is the exact quote. We didn't see Delta coming. I think most scientists did not. Upon whose advice and direction we have relied, didn't see Delta coming. We didn't see Omicron coming. And that's the nature of what this awful virus has been, which, as it turns out, has mutations and variants. That's not a great answer either, because now you're saying they didn't see this coming. What do you mean? There was variants of this before Donald Trump even left office. So now you're saying you didn't see the strains coming. So guess who they have to bring in to clean up this mess? Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci now has to make excuses for why the vice president cannot handle a simple question and seems to bungle everything she sets her eyes on. Let's hear Dr. Fauci cut 14, please.
Interview on Friday. We didn't see Delta coming. I think most scientists did not, upon whose advice and direction we have relied. Didn't see Delta coming. We didn't see Omicron coming. And that's the nature of what this awful virus has been, which, as it turns out, has mutations and variants. Dr. Fauci, perhaps nobody could have seen the specific of Delta or Omicron, but did you not see variants coming, or did you?
Yeah, I did. And I think that the vice president's statement was taken a bit out of context.
Oh, just like all your statements that get you in trouble.
That is false.
Context matters, unless you're a Republican, and then we'll take all the context away. You know, unless we're talking about Donald Trump supporting white supremacists in Charlottesville, then context doesn't matter. But if you're Kamala Harris, context matters. By the way, Fox was just showing the video of Kamala. I know you just listened to it here. It does not do it justice. It's like when you see a dress at a store, you got to try it on to get the full effect. You have to watch Kamala Harris because she is wagging her finger at this video. And the craziest part is she makes this horribly thin-skinned defense of her and Joe Biden and, you know, all the things they're doing. And come on, Charlemagne, don't talk like a Republican. And she's wagging her finger at him. And the craziest part is when she finishes, she thinks she's nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me, and I hate to throw him under the bus, he just got home from California, but it reminds me of my little brother when he would come home from taking a test. Wasn't a great student. He would come home from taking a test, and he would be walking on air. Crushed it! First one to hand it in! And then he'd get it back, and we were all like, huh, that's weird. He didn't do that well. Kamala Harris leaves these things, and she's like, okay, people!
Dunked on him. Nailed it.
We have a turning point! Looks like I'm going to be the favorite again. And then everyone's like, oh, no, 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 no. And someone else comes in the office and says, by the way, could I get my 2 weeks? I'm out of here. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. How you doing? I was telling Matt there. My daughter called me this weekend. Car broke down. She was at a wedding up in Hartford. So you try and remote diagnose it, right? And I said, well, it sounds like a blown hose or maybe your catalytic converter's clogged. 2 hours later, she called me back when AAA arrived. Somebody overnight jacked her car up and cut the catalytic converters out of the car outside of Hartford. Yeah. And I sent you a story on Twitter. It's pretty interesting because they've been having daytime carjackings, all sorts of car robberies there. The crime's become so commonplace now, we don't even report on it. But, you know, they were in a nice hotel and the guy just pulled up overnight and cut the converters out. And the car, you know, was disabled, had to be towed 30 miles and... Yeah, it's a mess, basically.
It's absolutely a mess, and crime is becoming a huge issue for voters heading into 2022. And, you know, I'm glad you brought this up, John, because I wasn't in really, I think I was in the day that London Breed from San Francisco had a turnaround on crime and said, you know, we're going to pick people up who have warrants, and now it's up to the DA to prosecute these people. And I didn't get the full effect of it because I wasn't able to read everything before that show. But I was thinking about it over the weekend, and I'm like, you know, at least she had the wherewithal to make a turnaround, because it's easy to criticize these Democrats when they start acknowledging crime because you're like, hello, you're the one in charge. This is what happens when all your policies come to fruition. But at the same time, that realization, that self-awareness, that ability to say, whoa, this is getting out of control. We need to take these cities back. We need to get police out on the street, and more importantly, we need police to be able to do their jobs. That is a level of self-awareness that gives me a little bit of hope for the future, because this crime is now starting to affect communities that aren't used to crime, and it should bother everyone no matter when crime happens, but you're starting to see that as these very, very intense robberies are happening with celebrities. There was one with a Real Housewife. You're starting to see these horrible crimes happening in gated communities. Now people are starting to speak up. And it's a shame it took this long, but it absolutely needs to happen. Things are just getting out of control. And it's happening everywhere. It's happening in San Francisco. It's happening in New York City. It's just, and like that last caller said, in broad daylight. And this is what happens when the wish list of the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars and the Ayanna Presleys of the world, when their wish list comes to light, this is what's happening. Don't worry about them, though. They have private security. So I don't want to end on such a scary note. They're going to be fine. 844-500-4242. Thank you for the call. When we get back, we have so much to get to before our guest at 205. I got a huge list of sound that my producer is going to be mad if I don't get to. I think we should talk about Fauci next, because Fauci was making the rounds this weekend, and he was, you know, doing what he does best. He was fear-mongering, and he was getting praise thrown at him from serious people like Jonathan Karl. We'll be right back after the break. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Can't believe it's almost 2 o'clock already. Time really does fly when you're having fun. Nancy Pelosi was out and about. I don't even know where she was. I'm guessing it was somewhere in California. Or
yeah, she was in San Francisco. I don't know what she was there for.
Well, Jared, she's probably talking about what a great job she's done with it.
Yeah, she might have been getting her hair did. Who knows?
Pelosi got her hair did. Yeah, so she's there. She's giving a speech outside. Always dangerous to give these little congratulatory speeches outside, because you run the chance of having a heckler in your midst. And luckily for us, that's exactly what happened. Let's take a listen.
Member of the state legislature. This is it. So communicate. Mark the song.
Let's go, Brandon. We got to get this guy. We got to get this guy one of these t-shirts. He's probably wondering, Grace, where can I get that t-shirt? Go to Grace Curley Show.
This is it.
Let's go, Brandon. Go to gracecurlyshow.com. Click on store to get your Let's Go, Brandon t-shirt. You know what we could do, Jared? You know, this is Christmas week. I'm trying to think of some fun ideas to lighten it up a little bit. It might be fun to do a heckler segment, because we've had some really funny hecklers over the years. My favorite, there was a heckler for Chuck Schumer, which was hysterical. There was a really funny heckler for Jerry Nadler, which I enjoyed. But these guys, I like the Let's Go, Brandon heckle, because it's not... it's a very kid-friendly way.
Let's go, Brandon!
Of expressing your support for Brandon. I also want to let people know that I ran a separate poll here on the show, on my Twitter today, because I wanted to do the Kamala Harris poll for the show. But if people didn't see this, Joe Biden made a TikTok with the Jonas Brothers, and it's painful. I mean, the amount of TikToks they have this guy starring in. And I mentioned this to an editor of mine, and he said it's because everyone who used to work at BuzzFeed and got laid off now works for the Biden administration. So it's like the BuzzFeedification of America. And so I threw out a poll for my listeners, and I basically just said, which celeb support has done the most for Biden's image? I had Olivia Rodrigo, Jonas Brothers, Bill Nye, and Jimmy Fallon. As of right now, with 104 votes in, Jimmy Fallon is at 58%, walking away with it.
The only one we've heard of outside of the Jonas Brothers.
It's true. All right, when we get back, we're talking to Tristan Justice, and then we're having a little bit of Fauci time. Don't go anywhere.